There are places in the Caribbean where history doesn't sit behind museum glass. It walks beside you, dances through the streets, and simmers in the pot on a neighbor's stove. St. Kitts and Nevis are two such places, twin islands joined not just by geography, but by rhythm, memory, and the enduring spirit of their people. Here, sugar plantations whisper of a bitter past, while steel pan bands on Sunday afternoons hum with resilience and celebration. In Basseterre, the past is never far. Colonial clock towers and crumbling forts tell of empires once obsessed with these emerald isles. But walk a little further, and you'll find the markets buzzing with new life. Hot pepper sauces, ripe mangoes, tales traded as easily as coins. On Nevis, the mountain looms like a quiet guardian, watching over a slower pace of life, one steeped in storytelling, in breadfruit and bush tea, in quiet dignity. This journey isn't just about what you'll see, it's about what you'll feel when the masquerade dancers spin by, and what you'll hear in the voices of elders whose memories stretch far beyond the horizon. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Land, the People, the Pulse. To understand St. Kitts and Nevis, you must first understand how they breathe. The wind moves differently here, curling around Nevis Peak like a whisper of old stories, then rushing toward the bustling streets of Basseterre like a carnival band just tuning up. From the moment you arrive, the land insists you slow down. Not because it's quiet, but because everything in these islands deserves a second look and a deeper listen. Where the Atlantic meets the Caribbean St. Kitts, with its rolling volcanic hills, and Nevis, its smaller, more contemplative sibling across the channel, sit perched where the Atlantic Ocean crashes into the calmer waters of the Caribbean Sea. The islands are green, lush, alive, fed by fertile volcanic soil and shaped by the relentless conversation between wind and wave. This geography has always mattered. It's why sugarcane once ruled here. It's why empires once fought for it. And it's why superstition, but out of respect for a world that cannot be fully explained. And in these quiet rituals, you find the threads of belief that connect St. Kitts and Nevis not only to Africa, but to each other. Cemeteries and crossroads. The landscape of belief is also visible in the way these islands treat the dead. Cemeteries are not hidden away. They are integrated into daily life. On both islands, gravestones often sit on church lawns or at the edge of neighborhoods, their inscriptions weathered by time but carefully tended. It's not unusual to hear a story of someone who saw a shadow or heard a voice in the night. Not spoken with fear, but with a quiet knowing. Ancestors are not absent. They linger. They guide. One elder in Gingerland recounted the story of a man who ignored a dream, warning him not to travel by sea. The boat sank. The tale isn't meant to scare. It's meant to remind. Listen to the world beneath the world. This intertwining of Christian ritual and ancestral awareness is not contradiction. It is continuity. The bush and the Bible across both islands, the knowledge of plants, what locals call bush medicine, continues to thrive. While modern pharmacies are common, many households still keep their own healing gardens. Neem for fever, soursop leaf for sleep, lemon balm for nerves. Some of this knowledge is now being codified, even taught in schools or through local NGOs. But much of it remains quietly alive, passed between women over market stalls, or practiced by men in the early hours before work. There is a reverence here for the land as teacher and healer. And while a pastor may pray over a sick child, it is not unusual for a herbalist to prepare a remedy just as earnestly. The two are not seen as competing forces. They are partners in care. One faith teaches redemption, the other teaches balance. Folklore in the shadows. And then there are the stories, half true, half dreamed, and fully believed by those who carry them. There's the Jumbi, a restless spirit said to haunt those who wronged others in life. Or the Sukuyong, a shapeshifter who slips through keyholes at night and drinks blood. Children are warned not to stare too long at the sea after sunset, lest something stares back. These tales are rarely told to scare. They are tools, warnings wrapped in wonder, a way of keeping the world enchanted, even as it modernizes. And in some villages, especially in Nevis, older folk still hold story night gatherings. There are no stages, just porches, lanterns, and voices. The children sit cross-legged, the adults sip bush tea, and the stories come alive again, updated with new details, but rooted in old truths. Belief as living archive faith in St. Kitts and Nevis is not something simply practiced once a week. It's lived. It's felt in the way people greet each other with blessings, in the way a grandmother crosses herself when a baby sneezes, in the way the mountains are spoken of, not just as geology, but as guardians. Even those who claim no religious affiliation often carry deep spiritual awareness. They respect the ocean. They speak softly in the graveyard. They watch the moon. It is a kind of wisdom that resists measurement, but reveals itself in care, in caution, in joy. Chapter 5. Stone, Sugar, and Sovereignty. The Colonial Legacy. The past lives quietly in the stones of St. Kitts and Nevis, in the moss-covered walls of old sugar plantations, in the cannons that still point out to sea, in the neat rows of windmill ruins slowly being reclaimed by grass. At first glance, they may seem like relics of another time, picturesque, romantic, even serene. But look closer, and they tell a harder truth. For all the beauty these twin islands offer, their history is carved with struggle, resistance, and survival. To walk among the remnants of colonial rule is to feel the weight of empire and the resilience of those who endured it. Brimstone Hill, a fortress on a volcano high on the western coast of St. Kitts, stands Brimstone Hill Fortress, its black volcanic stone walls rising like a crown above the sea. It is one of the best preserved examples of colonial military architecture in the Caribbean, earning its status as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. But it is more than a historical attraction. Built by enslaved Africans under British command over a century and a half, Brimstone Hill is a monument not just to military might, but to human endurance. The stones were carried by hand, the walls shaped by sweat and sorrow, and though it once served to protect empire, today it stands, reclaimed, a symbol of Kitishan strength. From its ramparts, you can see the island in every direction, the lush slopes below, the neighboring silhouettes of Stetia and Saba in the distance, and the deep, endless blue of the sea. That sea was once both a lifeline and a prison, the path by which enslaved people were brought and through which sugar wealth flowed back to Europe. Here the view is beautiful. But it is never just beautiful. The sugar empire and its shadow. In the 17th and 18th centuries, St. Kitts and Nevis were at the heart of the British Caribbean sugar empire. The land was divided into vast estates, and nearly every hill and valley was planted with cane. Sugar was not just a crop, it was currency. It shaped everything. Plantations bore names like Spooner's, Belmont, and Golden Rock, names still remembered today. They were run by absentee landlords and overseen by managers who enforced brutal discipline. The enslaved African labor force outnumbered the colonists many times over, but that imbalance was maintained through violence and fear. Yet resistance was constant. From runaways forming maroon communities in the hills to quiet acts of defiance in the fields and kitchens, the people never truly submitted. By the mid-19th century, emancipation came, on paper. But freedom brought new struggles, landlessness, economic dependence, and the long fight for dignity. Many formerly enslaved people remained tied to the plantations as laborers, and the sugar industry, while still dominant, began a slow decline in the 20th century. Today, only echoes remain. The last operational sugar factory closed in 2005. Yet the landscape still bears the marks, stone aqueducts snaking through the hills, windmill towers standing watch, and the occasional rusty gear half buried in brush. These are not ruins. They are reminders. Nevis, the birthplace of a revolutionary. On the smaller island of Nevis, colonial history takes on a different tone. This is the birthplace of Alexander Hamilton, one of the founding fathers of the United States. His early life here, born to a Scottish father and a mother of French Huguenot descent, has become a focal point for visitors intrigued by his legacy. But Hamilton's Nevis is not the whole story. While his name is carved into the fabric of American history, the island remembers other names, those who lived and labored in silence, the enslaved people who cooked in the kitchens, tilled the fields, and built the stone merchant houses that still stand in Charlestown today. There is pride, certainly, in being part of a global story. But there is also a determination to tell that story fully, not only through the lens of the powerful, but through the lives of those history often leaves behind. Education, reclamation, and renewal. Across both islands, there has been a growing movement to educate the next generation about this past, not as a relic to be admired, but as a lesson to be understood. Schoolchildren tour Brimstone Hill, not just to admire cannons, but to ask questions. Who built this? Why? At what cost? Cultural groups lead heritage walks through plantation ruins. Artists reinterpret colonial symbols through sculpture, dance, and film. Musicians write songs about ancestors whose names were never recorded, but whose legacies endure in rhythm and rhyme. Reclamation is ongoing. Some plantation houses have been transformed into museums or eco-resorts that honor rather than erase the past. Others remain silent, their stone walls crumbling, overgrown with vines. Each one tells a story of power, pain, and the complex inheritance of post-colonial identity. Sovereignty in spirit, St. Kitts and Nevis gained independence from Britain in 1983. One of the smallest sovereign nations in the world. But independence is more than a flag or anthem. It is an ongoing project, lived out in the choices people make, to preserve, to question, to celebrate. Today, the islands stand with both pride and awareness. They recognize the deep wounds of colonialism while refusing to be defined by them. The people have taken what was broken and shaped it into culture. Vibrant, defiant, evolving. In every mural painted on an old estate wall, in every child dancing in carnival gear, in every grandmother stirring bush tea in a pot once used by the plantation cook, there is a quiet kind of sovereignty. A reclaiming of story, of voice, of land. Chapter 6. From Coastline to Canopy. Ecological wonders and outdoor adventures. In St. Kitts and Nevis, nature is not a backdrop. It's a character in the story. It climbs the hillsides in shades of green, so layered they seem almost painted. It stretches out in reefs beneath the turquoise sea, alive with movement and color. It sings through the calls of vervet monkeys in the trees and whispers in the rustle of sea grapes along the shore. Here, the land and sea are not only landscapes. They are living archives of volcanic beginnings, of colonial cultivation, of modern conservation, and of adventure, always waiting just around the bend. Mountains made of fire, St. Kitts is crowned by Mount Liamuiga, a dormant volcano that rises over 3,700 feet above sea level. The name itself, Liamuiga, meaning fertile land in the Kalinago language, reminds us that this place has always had a story before colonizers gave it new names. To hike Mount Liamuiga is to walk a path of transformation. The trail begins gently, winding through farmland and old cane fields, before giving way to dense rainforest. The air grows thick with humidity. Vines dangle from towering trees. Ferns unfurl with prehistoric confidence. Birdsong and distant monkey chatter accompany every step. The monkeys, vervets brought here centuries ago by French colonists, now roam wild. They watch hikers from the canopy, cautious but curious. At the summit, on clear days, the reward is astonishing. A panoramic view stretching to neighboring islands, Saba, Statia, even St. Bart's, and below, the crater itself, cloaked in mist and mystery. Some say there's a freshwater lake down there. Others say it's been dry for decades. Either way, it feels sacred, untouched. This is not just a hike. It's a communion with the island itself. Nevis Peak and the Quiet Path. On Nevis, the adventure is quieter but no less powerful. Nevis Peak, though smaller than Liamuiga, offers one of the most intimate rainforest experiences in the Caribbean. The climb is steep, less a trail, more a tangle of roots and rope holds. But along the way, hikers encounter orchids clinging to tree trunks, rare birds darting through the branches, and the sweet scent of blooming hibiscus and bay leaf. What sets Nevis apart is the stillness. Here, you're more likely to meet a farmer tending his crops or a woman collecting herbs than another hiker. The mountain is respected, almost revered. Locals speak of it with quiet pride, not as a challenge to conquer, but as a presence to honor. The blue that surrounds the sea, of course, is never far, and for many, it's the starting point of every adventure. In St. Kitts, the black sand beaches of Dieppe Bay and the golden arc of South Friars Bay offer contrast and calm. In Nevis, the beaches stretch long and quiet. Pinney's Beach a favorite for both locals and visitors, where the horizon seems to blur into dream. Beneath the surface, coral reefs teem with life. Snorkeling off Shitton Bay, a misnamed but beloved cove reveals parrotfish, sea fans, and occasionally a passing sea turtle gliding with ancient grace. Further out, dive sites include old shipwrecks and volcanic ledges where rays drift and schools of jack move like silver rivers. The water is more than scenery. It is sustenance. It is story. Fishermen still head out in hand-painted boats, using techniques passed down through generations. Some use nets, others spears. Many speak of reading the sea, of knowing when to go by the shape of the clouds or the direction of the wind, and at day's end, the catch becomes part of the market, the meal, the memory. Conservation in motion. With such natural beauty comes responsibility. In recent years, St. Kitts and Nevis have made significant strides in environmental conservation. Protected areas have been established, both on land and sea, to preserve biodiversity. The Central Forest Reserve on St. Kitts protects the highland rainforest, while marine reserves aim to protect reefs from overfishing and coral bleaching. Local organizations work to educate schoolchildren about ecology. Beach cleanups are community events. There's growing interest in ecotourism, not just as a marketing term, but as a genuine effort to balance development with preservation. Solar energy is expanding. Efforts to reduce single-use plastics are gaining traction, and farmers are experimenting with organic techniques, blending modern sustainability with traditional practices. It's not perfect. Challenges remain: rising sea levels, waste management, the pressure of cruise tourism. But there is momentum. There is care. There is a belief that the land is not just something to live on, but something to live with. Adventure with meaning for travelers. Outdoor adventures here are more than just adrenaline. They are invitations to connection. Take a catamaran out at sunset, and you might share a drink with a local sailor whose stories stretch across generations. Hike into the rainforest, and your guide may point out not only trees, but the places where his grandmother once gathered herbs. Zipline through the canopy, and hear the laughter of school children echoing from a nearby village. Paddle a kayak along the coast, and spot a pelican diving with fierce grace, a reminder that wildness still lives here. Every adventure holds layers of nature, of narrative, of human presence, and that's the gift of St. Kitts and Nevis. Not just that you can see these places, but that you can feel them. And in doing so, you carry them with you. Chapter 7. The future is island-made: innovation, education, and cultural pride. In the early morning light, as school children in crisp uniforms walk hand in hand past the clock tower in Basseterre, and elders open shutters on Nevisian porches to greet the sun, you begin to understand. The future of these islands is already in motion. It hums in classrooms, it stirs in studio spaces, and it gathers quietly in community centers where culture is not only preserved, it is projected forward. St. Kitts and Nevis are not relics of the past. They are laboratories of possibility. Their small size is not a limitation, but a vantage point, a chance to craft something thoughtful, rooted, and uniquely their own. The classroom as compass education in St. Kitts and Nevis is taken seriously, not just as a path to opportunity, but as a way of shaping the national spirit. Schools across both islands weave local history, ecology, and culture into their curriculum. Children don't just memorize capitals or dates. They learn about Brimstone Hill as a place their ancestors built. They study Nevis Peak as more than a mountain, but as a heritage site. They plant gardens to understand food security, and they write poems about mango season and carnival sounds. At the Clarence Fitzroy Bryant College in St. Kitts and the Nevis Sixth Form College, students are engaging with fields as varied as environmental science, information technology, hospitality, and the arts. Not as abstract ideals, but as tools for real-world island growth. There's a national pride in homegrown knowledge, in teachers who once studied under the mango trees, now instructing in high-tech classrooms, in parents who never finished school, watching their children prepare for university, in communities where learning is a lifelong rhythm. Creative economies and cultural entrepreneurs walk through downtown Charlestown or the artisan stalls near Port Zante, and you'll find not just souvenirs, but stories in motion. There are painters whose work reflects the curves of Nevisian hills and the pulse of masquerade dancers. There are jewelry makers crafting from local stone, clay, and sea glass. Poets gathering for spoken word nights. Musicians fusing calypso with reggae, hip-hop, and gospel. Creative expression here is not a side note. It's a sector. It's a way of reclaiming voice, generating income, and representing St. Kitts and Nevis on a global stage. Carnival and Culturama are more than celebrations. They are economic engines. Costume designers, seamstresses, event planners, DJs, and street vendors all play essential roles. Cultural funding is being directed toward youth programs and arts initiatives that support island-born creativity. And increasingly, young people are using digital platforms to showcase their work, from Instagram galleries to YouTube travel vlogs and TikTok food tutorials. The Island Voice is reaching far beyond its shores, authentic, proud, and unmistakably local. Sustainability as innovation. In a world facing climate change, small island nations are often portrayed as vulnerable. But St. Kitts and Nevis are reframing the narrative as innovators. Solar energy projects are expanding. Farmers are experimenting with permaculture. Entrepreneurs are creating products from local resources, like teas made from wild herbs, body care lines using coconut oil and aloe, and even biodegradable packaging sourced from banana leaves. There are efforts to preserve traditional farming methods while also embracing hydroponics and greenhouse technology. Fisherfolk are learning about sustainable practices and reef preservation. Young environmentalists are leading beach cleanups and advocating for marine conservation. The future here is island-made, not in opposition to the past, but in dialogue with it. Diaspora, return, and renewal. Many Kittitians and Nevisians live abroad, in the United States, Canada, the UK, but the connection to home remains unbroken. Return visits swell during festival season. Children born overseas are brought back to walk the beaches their parents knew. Remittances support family homes. And increasingly, members of the diaspora are returning not only to visit, but to invest, opening businesses, buying land, and sharing knowledge. There is no divide between here and away. There is only a circle, one that keeps turning. The islands are also welcoming those who arrive with respect, travelers who want to learn, not just lounge. Researchers, artists, teachers, and students drawn to the layered living culture of a place that defies stereotypes and rewards those who listen closely. Holding past and future in the same hand, what makes St. Kitts and Nevis extraordinary is not any one monument or meal or landscape, though each is remarkable. It is the way the islands hold memory and momentum in equal measure. A schoolchild playing steel pan in the morning may plant cassava with his grandfather by afternoon. A young woman recording a podcast on Caribbean spirituality may also be dancing in her church choir that Sunday. A fisherman using GPS to find new reefs still reads the clouds as his father did. There is no single way to be modern. And in St. Kitts and Nevis, the path forward is not a break from the past. It is a continuation, lovingly revised. As you leave the islands, whether on a ferry across the Narrows or on a plane rising gently over the sea, the colors remain. The golden light of evening on Nevis Peak, the deep blue of the Caribbean just before sunset, the bright reds and greens of carnival costumes dancing in your memory. And perhaps you realize this place is not just a destination. It is an inheritance. It is a promise. It is a future being shaped, one island-born story at a time. Today, despite its size, the nation pulses with an identity far larger than its landmass. From the air, St. Kitts looks like a green triangle carved from the sea, a mountainous interior falling gently toward windswept beaches with the mighty Mount Liamuiga at its heart. Nevis is softer, quieter. The dormant volcano that dominates its skyline rises out of the sea like a guardian spirit, its summit often hidden in clouds, its slopes wrapped in dense forest and whispers. But what makes these islands truly remarkable isn't the scenery, it's the people who live within it. The spirit of Kittitians and Nevisians. Every region in the Caribbean has its own tempo, and here the beat is warm, steady, and quietly confident. Kitticians and Nevisians are storytellers by nature, not just in word, but in gesture, rhythm, and tradition. They don't just recall history, they live it. It flows through family recipes, passed down across generations, in the cadence of their speech, in the calypso lyrics that blend joy with sharp-eyed commentary. Ask someone for directions, and you may get a short story about their grandmother's village. Stop in a roadside stall for black pudding or coconut dumplings, and you'll learn about an entire family tree. Here, identity is layered. There are echoes of African, British, French, and Amerindian roots. And yet, the islands are unmistakably themselves, resilient, radiant, rooted. The people hold space for contradiction, a reverence for tradition, and a readiness for change. Churches and cricket grounds sit beside solar-powered schools and tech startups. Elder fishermen mend their nets on wooden boats, while their grandchildren live stream beach days to the world. Culture doesn't just survive here, it evolves. A past that shapes the present. No story of St. Kitts and Nevis can begin without acknowledging sugar. The islands were once a crown jewel in Britain's Caribbean holdings, and the sugar plantations here were notorious. Built on the backs of enslaved Africans whose labor enriched empires. Brimstone Hill Fortress, now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, still looms over the island like a monument to that brutal era. But what once was a symbol of colonial dominance has become a space reclaimed. Today, Kitticians climb those stone steps with pride. Not in the conquest, but in the endurance. The enslaved became ancestors. Their blood is in the soil. Their music is in the air, and their spirit is in every masquerade dancer who stamps the ground during carnival. The legacy of slavery is not forgotten, but it's not where the story ends. It's part of a broader narrative of resistance, of cultural retention, of survival through song, food, and community. A geography of connection, though only 2 miles of water separate St. Kitts from Nevis, the strait, known as the Narrows, marks more than a physical divide. Nevisians often speak of their island with quiet pride, a place of peace, where time moves slowly and nature holds court. St. Kitts hums with political and economic activity, housing the capital and serving as the center of government and commerce. Nevis, with its natural hot springs and sleepy villages, remains the soul, the heart that beats steadily while its sibling dances. But both islands share a cultural bloodstream. Each carnival, each cricket match, each calypso competition becomes a moment of shared celebration, a reminder that the two, while distinct, are inseparable. The pulse of the present. Today, St. Kitts and Nevis stand at a crossroads of heritage and innovation. The sugar plantations are gone, replaced by boutique hotels and eco-resorts. The old railway line, once used to transport cane, now offers panoramic tours through rainforest and coastline. Local entrepreneurs blend tradition with creativity. Think rum infused with local spices, or festivals that honor African drumming alongside EDM stages. Education is valued. Environmental protection is rising in urgency, and tourism, though vital, is being reimagined not as extraction, but as exchange. The islands want you to visit, yes, but they want you to understand, to walk the land and hear its stories, to taste the flavors not as novelty, but as inheritance, to feel not just the warmth of the sun, but of the people, their pride, their complexity, their hope. Chapter 2. Market days and mangoes. Flavors of the islands. There's a certain hush in the early morning hours before the market opens. The scent of salt lingers in the breeze, roosters crow somewhere inland, and vendors begin setting up beneath sun-worn tarps in the heart of Basseterre, By mid-morning, the quiet gives way to color, noise, and rhythm, a dance of trade that is less about commerce and more about community. Welcome to the culinary soul of St. Kitts and Nevis, a market of memory, in the center of town, where streets still echo the layout of colonial gridwork, sits a vibrant sprawl of stalls and voices. It isn't the kind of market designed for tourists, though they wander through from time to time. This is a place for locals, for grandmothers with woven baskets, teenagers on errands, and men discussing cricket scores over heaps of breadfruit and scotch bonnets. Here, food is not just sustenance, it is story, identity, inheritance. You'll see bunches of thyme and bundles of callaloo, fresh goat meat from nearby farms, fat plantains stacked beside pyramid piles of golden mangoes, and not just one kind. On St. Kitts alone, there are dozens of varieties, from Julie and Graham to the stringy, sweet black mango that clings to memory as much as it does to teeth. Ask anyone in the market about their favorite mango, and you'll get a passionate answer. You might even get a mango, handed to you with the kind of casual generosity that defines this region. Fruit is not bought here. It's gifted, traded, tasted. Cooking with heritage. In St. Kitts and Nevis, kitchens are classrooms. Recipes live not in cookbooks, but in hands, passed down from great-grandmothers to mothers to sons and daughters. The staples are humble, but their preparation is sacred. Every dish is a reflection of ancestry, African techniques, European influences, indigenous knowledge, and Caribbean creativity. Take goat water, the national dish. Despite its name, it is not a soup in the Western sense. It's thicker, spicier, more layered. Goat meat, marinated in lime and local herbs, simmers in a broth, seasoned with cloves, cinnamon, and thyme. The flavors deepen over hours, yielding something rich, unhurried, and soulful. It is not a meal you rush. It is a meal you gather around. Then there's saltfish and dumplings, a staple of island breakfast. Salted cod, sautéed with onions, tomatoes, and hot pepper, served alongside chewy dough that's boiled or fried. It's a legacy of colonial preservation methods married to island abundance. A fusion born from necessity, now elevated to pride. In Nevis, the flavors shift slightly, softer and earthier. Locals still prepare cook-up rice, a one-pot medley of rice, peas, meat, and coconut milk. On special days, you'll find tamarind balls wrapped in wax paper and sweet potato pudding made with grated root vegetables and brown sugar baked into dense slices of memory. Food as festival. To taste the islands during festival season is to experience joy in edible form. Culturama in Nevis, the summer celebration that fuses emancipation, remembrance with vibrant cultural pride, is when streets fill with the aroma of jerk chicken on open grills, of roasted corn dusted with island spice, of peanut sugar cakes hardened into spiraled confections. Food becomes performance, spectacle, invitation. Carnival in St. Kitts brings similar delights. Vendors push carts through the crowds, offering soursop juice, fried fish, and cassava pone. There are contests, best maubi, best pilau, judged by flavor, and just as importantly, by feeling. Because here, food is measured not only by taste, but by memory. A dish is good if it tastes like home. And home is layered. It could be your grandmother's pot, a neighbor's backyard, a Sunday church cookout, or a beach lime that started with grilled lobster and ended with storytelling under the stars. Sustainability, tradition, and the modern plate. Today, younger chefs and culinary entrepreneurs are embracing this heritage while also innovating. Farm-to-table movements are growing, and eco-conscious kitchens are rising in popularity. there's a new respect for native ingredients, like cassava, yam, guava, and golden apple, and an increasing interest in the preservation of traditional foodways. One chef in Charlestown tells us that his grandmother's coconut drops inspired his newest dessert, a reimagined treat served with rum-glazed pineapple and a dash of sea salt. It's not about reinventing, he says. It's about remembering and telling the story differently. In many households, grandmothers still make bush teas with lemongrass, ginger, and soursop leaves. These herbal infusions are more than wellness trends. They are legacies of survival, drawn from African and Amerindian knowledge passed quietly through generations. Food security, agricultural, resilience, and cultural education are now part of the national conversation. School children visit local farms. Elders teach breadfruit roasting techniques. The Ministry of Culture collaborates with local cooks to record and preserve endangered recipes. Because here, cuisine is not just what's served, it's what's preserved. A taste of tomorrow. Even as imported products grow on supermarket shelves, the spirit of the islands remains rooted in the earth and in those who keep its flavors alive. A mango picked fresh from a tree will always be sweeter than one from a truck. A stew stirred by hand over firewood will always tell a deeper story. And when you sit beneath a mango tree, peeling the fruit with your fingers, juice running down your wrist as the sun warms your back, and someone nearby hums a calypso tune, you are not just eating, you are participating. You are remembering. You are becoming part of the island's pulse. Chapter 3, Masks, Music and Masquerade, Festival Culture in Full Color. If the land of St. Kitts and Nevis speaks in quiet tones, in waves and wind and memory, its festivals speak with full voice. They shout joyfully into the streets, beat drums that echo across centuries, and call even the shyest hearts into motion. Here, culture is not only preserved through ritual, it is performed, loud, proud, and pulsing with rhythm. Jouvert, The Dawn Rebellion. Long before the sun rises over Basseterre on Boxing Day, the streets begin to stir. Jouvert, derived from the French jour ouvert, meaning daybreak, is not a party. It's a declaration, a celebration of freedom, a reclaiming of space. It is the people's carnival, and it begins in darkness. By 3 a.m., barefoot revelers gather, bodies slick with paint, oil, and colored powder. The air smells of rum and sweat and something else. Anticipation. Iron bands clang out hypnotic rhythms, their metallic cadence rooted in African drumming traditions once banned during colonial times. These are not passive sounds. They demand movement. Men and women dance in the streets, not on stage, but together, bound by ancestral memory and present joy. The chaos is intentional. There are no tickets, no VIPs. Everyone is equal in this moment. The body becomes the instrument, the road, a sacred path. As dawn breaks over the sea, the sky turns lavender, and you realize something quietly profound. Jouvert is not about escaping reality. It's about revealing it, about honoring the spirit that refuses to be silenced. The masquerade. More than a costume. Among the most iconic figures in Nevisian and Kitchen celebrations are the masqueraders. Clad in elaborate, multicolored costumes, adorned with mirrors, feathers, and hand-sewn ribbon, the masquerade dancers perform with movements that are part martial arts, part ballet, and all heritage. Their steps are deliberate. The knee bends and kicks high. The shoulders roll in rhythm. The entire body becomes a living archive. And then there's the mask, tall, often intimidating, sometimes crowned with horns or plumes. It is not a disguise. It is a statement, a challenge to colonial norms, a nod to West African traditions reinterpreted through Caribbean survival. Each movement has meaning. Each performance tells a story of resistance, of spiritual power, of celebration. Young dancers learn from elders, often in backyards or empty community centers. The knowledge isn't written, it's embodied. And when they dance during Culturama or Carnival, they carry not just music, but memory. Vivid, unbroken, alive. Steel Pan and Soccer, the soundtrack of identity. No exploration of Kitishan and Navisian culture would be complete without sound. And sound, here, is life. The Steel Pan, born in Trinidad but embraced across the Caribbean, holds a special place on both islands. Entire orchestras made up of old oil drums, carefully hammered into harmonic notes, create melodies that feel both ancient and futuristic. In St. Kitts, steel pan is taught in schools and played in competitions. Children as young as 6 learn to read music by ear, hitting precise notes that rise like heat from the pavement. During Carnival, the road marches throb with energy, and the air vibrates with soca, that high-tempo blend of soul and calypso, born to move feet and stir spirits. Artists like Infamous and King Conris have brought modern Kitishan sounds to broader stages, but their lyrics often return home, to streets they know, to struggles their neighbors face, to a love for island life that transcends politics or poverty. Calypso remains the elder sibling of soca, slower, sharper, more reflective. The lyrics, often laced with satire, poke at politicians, question social norms, and celebrate community. It's music with teeth, wrapped in a grin. And when the tents go up during Carnival season, locals pack in to hear the latest verses, laughing, nodding, and sometimes wincing, because here, music isn't entertainment. It's accountability. It's truth. Culturama, Nevis's quiet revolution. If Carnival is the fiery heart of St. Kitts, Culturama is the soul of Nevis. Held each summer, Culturama is both a celebration and a preservation act. Launched in the 1970s as a way to revive fading traditions, it has become the heartbeat of Navision identity. There are beauty pageants and poetry nights, food fairs and theatrical performances. But the highlight, for many, is the Emancipation Day March, a solemn yet celebratory reminder of the day slavery was abolished in the British Caribbean. Locals wear traditional African attire. Children walk alongside elders. Drums beat not for dance, but for remembrance. It's a reminder that joy and pain often walk hand in hand, and that culture is not about forgetting what was difficult, but honoring what was survived. And on the final night, as fireworks explode over Charlestown's harbor and dancers perform their last steps beneath the stars, you can feel it, that quiet revolution. Not one of weapons or headlines, but of culture preserved by participation, passed down through performance, and shared with the world on its own terms. A living archive. To witness festival culture in St. Kitts and Nevis is to enter a living museum, not one of glass cases and silence, but of color, noise, and movement. It is culture as breathing entity, where tradition does not fossilize but flexes. Children here don't just learn about history, they dance it. Grandparents don't just tell stories, they sing them, cook them, stitch them into costume seams. And visitors, those willing to listen, to learn, to move, don't just watch. They join. Chapter 4. Faith and Folklore. Belief systems in everyday life. In the Caribbean, belief is never confined to cathedrals or sacred texts. It lives in small gestures, a whisper before crossing a threshold, a sprig of basil behind the ear, a story passed down not for logic, but for meaning. In St. Kitts and Nevis, Faith and folklore live side by side, not in contradiction, but in conversation. This is a land where churches ring with hymns on Sunday morning, and old folk tales still curl around evening firelight. To understand the people of these twin islands is to walk through both spaces, the steepled and the spiritual, the told and the lived. Echoes of the pulpit Christianity arrived with colonization, first with the Spanish, later deeply rooted through British influence. Today, its presence is visible in every village and town. Modest chapels and proud cathedrals mark nearly every community. On Sundays, the streets grow still, save for the swell of choirs rising from stone walls and wood-framed sanctuaries. Anglican, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, the denominations are many, but the tone is shared, reverence shaped by community. Church is not simply a matter of personal piety. It is a social anchor, a space of celebration, mourning, mentorship, and resilience. Births are announced here. Funerals are held here. Ideas are exchanged, sometimes debated, always grounded in collective memory. On Nevis, many families still attend the same church their great-grandparents helped build. Wooden pews have held generations. And while the sermons may echo scripture, the language, rich with local rhythm, is unmistakably Caribbean. It's not uncommon to hear a congregation break into spontaneous song or laughter. Faith here isn't rigid, it breathes. The spirit beneath the surface. But beneath this formal religious layer lies something older, harder to name, yet deeply present. The influence of African spiritual traditions, long suppressed, never truly disappeared. Instead, it adapted, lived quietly in kitchens and gardens, in dreams and proverbs. Some call it obeah, a word heavy with colonial fear and misunderstanding. Others speak of it only in whispers, or not at all. But its essence remains in the intuitive knowledge passed from grandmother to child. If a baby won't stop crying, someone might slip a piece of red thread onto its wrist, not as decoration, but protection. If a neighbor falls ill, a tea of cerise and lime leaf may be brewed before the doctor is ever called. Dreams are recorded, omens noted, not always out of